Well, welcome to the situation report for March 11th. That's a little Steelheart. We all die young. Great song. Haven't heard that in a long time. And felt appropriate today, especially given the political situation. So Trump falling on his sword today. Not the best optics. I don't know what the deal is behind the scenes with Massey and with Trump, but Trump going after Massey was a tactical and a strategic blunder. The base is waking up. They're waking up to the fact that he's owned by Israel. I mean, I'm just going to call a spade a spade. The more he posts, the more things I see, the more they scream anti-Semitism, the more I think they're owned by Israel. And maybe that's not the truth, but it's up to them to prove it now. Because Bondi's been in place now for, 3 weeks? No arrests. And she's doing an anti-Semitism case rather than disclosing the Epstein files. The binder gate hurt them and was strike one. Going after Massey was strike two. The optics of it are terrible. And you're already starting to see the memes start to come to the surface now. In fact, there was like five today, One Nation Under Israel. And that's only going to grow, and it's going to get even worse. As I said before, Trump created an existential crisis for himself that I don't think he knows how to get out of. And his standard tactics of trying to dominate the news cycle, it's not going to work the same way it worked before. The thing about doing information operations is you got to refresh and you got to come up with new BS and you got to keep playing the same themes and messages, right? One of the things they're playing right now is that Al Green being taken out of the Senate, off the Senate floor, was racism, and they're playing it over and over and over again. They do that so that it absorbs into the public consciousness and it becomes truth, which is nonsense, right? Everybody knows it's nonsense. But if you play it long enough, you repeat it long enough, it stays in the public consciousness. But here's the problem with Trump. The fact that the base is starting to turn on him and the base is starting to lose patience with DOJ and with now the FBI, but more importantly, with Trump himself, he's going to create a bigger and bigger problem. And that bigger problem is, as Trump's base moves away from him, so too will his political support. Because look, they're paying attention to both Twitter and to Truth Social. And he's posted some really, really stupid things on Truth Social that have not played well for him. And the biggest one was the Massey thing today. So Greenland, Canada, those are all trolls. He's just trolling. And maybe he's serious about acquiring Greenland. Maybe he's serious about making parts of Canada a part of the U.S. But I tend to think that most of that is noise, right? And I tend to think that most of the stuff he's posting is for a reason. But that said, I also know the guy's a performer and he knows what optics look like. And he knows, you know, how to play optics. And he's just not doing it this time around, which makes it really suspect as to what his agenda is, right? Just like yesterday, Elon Musk was talking about the attack on X the other day, where X was down, and he said, "Yeah, we traced it back to Ukraine," and look. Being in that business, I can tell you that it's extremely easy to spoof IP addresses. In fact, the guy who wrote the program that does that for the agencies, that spoofs IPs and makes it look like the attack's coming from a different country, I know the guy. I actually worked with him. I know exactly what that piece of software is. I know exactly what that piece of software does. I know exactly how realistic that traffic looks when that piece of software is running. So while I, you know, believe that Elon's probably got more information than we do. I also know that it's very easy to deceive an entire security team. It's not that hard. So optics right now are not playing. It's not their strong suit. It's not playing in their favor. And optics is the one thing that Trump needs the most, especially when we're talking about his base. Because look, his base expects three very important things. Number one is transparency. He ran on transparency. Thus far, we haven't seen it. Number two is holding people accountable, meaning holding people like Obama and Brennan and Clapper. They have all the receipts. So holding people accountable is the second thing. And the third thing is to cut the size of the federal government and the budget. He's doing that. So is Doge. So all those things are happening. But the thing that I think that they've underestimated is that the public's patience level was already at an all-time low toward the end of Biden's regime. And look, let's face it. All of us were gearing up for them to steal the election and for civil war to break out shortly thereafter. We were all pivoting towards that. Everybody I know was pivoting towards that. And everybody I know was pivoting towards some kind of a contingency or a major contingency that they were going to try and use to strip off the Second Amendment. None of that came to pass. So everybody reset. And now they're looking forward and they're looking at what the administration's doing, and reneging on promises is not going to help them in any way, shape, or form, no matter what. And, you know, they can come up with all the excuses they want, especially around Epstein. They can come up with all the excuses they want, national security, whatever. All of that is not going to play with his base. His base said very, very clearly, these are the things we want from you. This is why we're putting you in office. So, and look, I know his people are listening to me. So I'm hoping they're taking notes, because the thing that they're not paying attention to is the base is rapidly moving away from him. They're pissed off. And pretty soon, that's going to turn into something else. And I will go as far as say that if you watch the mainstream media right now, they are openly inciting violence. That is sedition. Why the FBI or even DOJ hasn't warned them that action will be taken is beyond me. All it's going to take is one news outlet to be rolled up, or The View, or another media head to be rolled up for sedition, and all that stops. Because it's going to give people pause. Hey, they're serious. Thus far, what have we seen? More Instagram photos, more photo ops, more pressers, but no action. I'm telling you, they created an existential crisis, and the only way they're going to get out of it is to do something. And at the same time, on the other side of the fence, you have the BlueAnon guys, which cracks me up. So they played the QAnon thing, to the Anons, and they went along with it hook, line, and sinker. And now they're playing the same script on, what's that liberal social media site that they all flock to after Twitter? Blue Sky. And so now on Blue Sky, you have BlueAnon, this supposedly former Air Force guy, saying Trump's going to get rolled up in the next 48 hours and he's going to get tried for treason and he's going to go to Gitmo. Any of that shit sound familiar? Literally, they're playing the same script on Blue Sky and people are eating it up. And it's, you know, the depressing part of it is the people are incredibly gullible. The funny part of it is they're playing the exact same script, literally the exact same script. And people are eating it. They're gobbling it up, which I don't get, to be perfectly honest, but it is what it is. Where the rubber's going to meet the road is when Kash Patel takes his first action, and what action that is. Because everybody's watching now. And I mean, everyone's watching. So they need to dig their way out of this to reestablish credibility. Otherwise, he's going to lose his base completely. And I say that because of the volume of comments and the volume of things that I get across the mail, email every single day. And it's the amount of PMs I got yesterday was unbelievable. And then again this morning. So people are paying attention, and that's a good thing. People are crossing the aisle now too. And, you know, I think it's interesting how they've all but dismantled all of the BLM and Antifa beachheads that were established during the last regime. I find that extremely interesting how they've been able to do that with little or no pushback. Like they're taking Black Lives Matter out in front of the White House. That's no opposition to that. So it really is interesting how fast they've been able to execute on certain things, which you know we're going to draw pushback. Unless, of course, dismantling USAID was part of a bigger plan to dismantle all of the paid provocateurs and paid protesters, which is exactly what I think they've done. So the other thing that the existential crisis that they've created is they have all these federal judges that were appointed by Obama or by Biden that are legislating from the bench. They need to impeach some of these guys. And if the Congress doesn't act, then it just tells me that they're completely impotent, which I already believe, but I'm just waiting for confirmation of that. Yeah, Scout Squad, you're right. I think there is a false flag inbound. They're certainly messaging it, because if you listen to Sarah Adams, she's still talking about the same thing. She's still pushing the same narrative. What I found interesting today was that I saw a Sean Ryan interview where he talks about when he left the service and he left the agency, he broke up with some girl and had one-itis and got into coke down in Colombia. Very interesting interview. There's a whole lot to that I could analyze, but I'm still back at where some of the things I was told about the guy. He's a good guy, so I'm just going to go with that for now, at least. The rest of the noise that you're hearing about Canada shutting off power, shutting off water, it's all noise. All of it's noise. Just like the Massey stuff today, that's noise too. Bad optics, but it's noise. I don't know if everybody caught it today, but in Saudi Arabia, Ukraine was signaling they want a 30-day pause or a 30-day ceasefire. Okay, Russia's not going to go for that because they have the initiative. They've kicked all of the Ukrainians out of Kursk, so they're going to continue on the offensive. And we've opened up intelligence and weapon shipments again, which tells me that, number one, somebody made a deal. Now the question is, what does that deal look like? And how is that deal going to flush out? Because a 30-day pause would be Ukraine's wet dream right now. They could consolidate their lines. They could bring in reinforcements, or at least go coerce more people from Kiev and throw them out on the front. Either way, we'll see what the Russians do with it, but I don't think the Russians are going to do much with it. And then we'll see what they come back with as far as a response. Very interesting, though, because it slipped through the radar. I don't think it was even reported in mainstream. Maybe it was. I don't watch mainstream, so I don't know. But I thought it was very interesting that it was a very small headline this afternoon. And I think it was Washington Pundit that released it. It was Disclosed TV is actually who it was. Very interesting. That development, I mean, and you know how it is with you, Ukraine and Zelensky, right? They change on a dime. So you never know for sure what their story is going to be, if they're going to stick with it or not. I would have rather imagine it's just a carrot. But they could be legit. They could legitimately want a 30-day pause so they could reconstitute. I don't know why Russia would agree to that. I sure as hell wouldn't. But stranger things have happened. The other interesting thing that's going on, or at least let me get back to messaging, because messaging is where my head's at. It's where I'm paying attention. So there's an all-out push right now across a lot of media, a lot of different mediums, social media. I've even seen some of it in Netflix and YouTube. It's almost like they had some movies and shows in reserve that they held back for Trump's initial 100 days, because I'm seeing stuff with race war, I'm seeing stuff with civil war, and they're really pushing the civil war aspect of it, like left versus right. I don't think it's going to gain traction because they can't garner the level of support, and they can't mobilize the same number of political and paid activists to go out and incite violence like they did in Trump's first term. And that's a direct result of USAID. So I don't think they're going to be successful at that, but I do think they could pull off probably a false flag, because you could bet your ass that the Europeans are helping out there too. So those two narratives right now, they're trying to build momentum and get people more and incite more people. And that's where the violence incitement is coming from the mainstream media. They must believe that there's enough of the society that's disgruntled that they'll take to the streets. I think that'll bear out the next couple of days. So it'll be very interesting. Hang on one second. My four-legged landscapers are hard at work. My apologies, they were trying to chew on the couch. Dogs, gotta love them. The other thing that happened over the weekend, which I waited yesterday to do the sit rep today because of this, and this goes along with the inciting violence. One of Alex's reporters was shot on Saturday night and killed, like right outside of his apartment. And it shows that somebody followed him home or was waiting at his home for him to get out of the car, which means they knew where he was, they knew who he was, and he was specifically targeted. Why him, I don't know. But I find it very interesting that Alex Jones's staff is being targeted. You can attribute a lot to that. You can do a lot of conjecture. Thus far, that story hasn't played out other than the announcement. So I'm curious to see where it goes from here. If there was any witnesses, if they have any leads, I'd be curious to see where that leads back to. But what it shows is that the level of danger is as high as we've, you know, everybody, Bracken, myself, Michael Yon, E.M. Burlingame, all those guys, they've all been saying the same thing. We're in an extremely dangerous time. And if you get anything out of this, keep your head on a swivel, because I think we're going to see an uptick in violence, and it might be isolated throughout the U.S., but don't take anything for granted. And I said this on my update on Substack this morning, that keep your head on a swivel. You should know who belongs and who doesn't belong around you. And I'll use an example, the same example I used this morning. If you've listened to my update on Substack, bear with me. I was in Costco a couple of years ago now, and I had been going after the Chinese for several weeks on the show, both on the show, on the round table, and on interviews. And I was walking through Costco by my house, and I was five or six Chinese guys following me around the store. And I noticed them when I came in, right? They were all staring at me when I walked in, and I didn't pay any attention to it, because I'm like, they're probably just, you know, watching the crowd. But I noticed two or three aisles in that they were literally right around the corner from me all the time. So when I got back towards the back of the store, I went into an aisle where there was a bunch of people and confronted them. And these guys spoke perfect English. They knew exactly who I was. They knew exactly where I shopped. They knew exactly what time I shopped. I don't know how they knew it, because I go to the store in Costco randomly. But they either camped out there or they followed me to Costco. Either way, had I not been paying attention, they probably would have jumped me in the parking lot. But because I created such a ruckus inside the store and other people were paying attention and figured out what was going on, I had people around me that were not only pushing back on these guys, but they were witnesses to what was going on. So I took away their opportunity to do anything. But the point is, they knew exactly what my habit was, or at least my pattern of life was. And so I've since changed that pattern of life. But the point is, pay attention to your surroundings. Know who should be there. Question anybody that doesn't look right. And if it's not right, it probably isn't right, especially right now. Because I will tell you that, in my view, we are in a way more dangerous point in our history right now than we were before the election. And despite what you think, we're in a very dangerous time. Very dangerous time. So my head's on a swivel and yours should be too. At least until we see some kind of action. If we don't see any action, then guess what, folks? Old boss meet new boss, exactly the same. And I'm cautiously optimistic that what we're seeing is positioning. What we're seeing is the new regime getting acclimated, figuring out who the key players are. And I said it would take them 6 months before they started doing anything. And I'm still on that vein. But I could tell you that most of the American people are fed up. And, you know, it's not uncommon for people to have unrealistic expectations. But at a minimum, I think it's going to take Cash 6 months to figure out who's good, who's bad, and, you know, how to proceed with the FBI. Because they got to gut that place before they can do anything else. They got to get rid of all the DEI hires, all the bad actors, all of the communists, all of the Obama plants. I mean, this shit goes all the way back to, you know, Bush one. And the story today in Gateway Pundit about Kash Patel having a direct line to the president, that's not uncommon for the FBI director to have a direct line to the president. Because remember, the FBI runs the counterintelligence programs. They run the counter spy programs, counterintelligence. They run all of the counter espionage programs related to industrial espionage and technical espionage. So he's got to have a direct line to the president. And J. Edgar Hoover had a direct line to pretty much every single president that he served under. So that's not an uncommon thing. Just like dual reporting is not an uncommon thing. And my guess is that direct line to the president is to give the president a heads up about who he's going to arrest big names that he's going to arrest so the president could get ahead of it. And his staff could develop a speech and a press release for it. That would be my guess, which tells me that there probably is things in the wings that they're, you know, arrests in the wings that are to come. They're just not doing it right now. So we'll see. I mean, he's got to establish trust within his organization, which is a hard thing to do with this much press. And he's got to weed out all the bad actors. That's a tall order. For anybody, that's a tall order. And I would hope, for his sake, I would hope that he's got some good people that are loyal to the Constitution that are helping him out. I have all but given up any semblance of desire to go serve this administration until they prove me, prove otherwise that they're not beholden to Israel. And I watched the convention, and the convention was Make Israel Great Again, especially that chant on night three about Israel. That completely turned me off. So, and yeah, I'll give Bondi another 3 months and then she'll be out. She's proven to be a disappointment. And Kristi Noem's proven to be the Instagram director. She does more Instagram shots, I think, than she's actually doing her job. But that's at least what the optics look like. We'll see. The proof is in what they do, right? It's too early to tell. We're too early into this to be able to make a decision either way. I say be patient for another few months at least, if not until closer to the end of the year, and we'll probably see some action. So you're goddamn right they're afraid of me, Silver. Because I'm not going to sit back and just, you know, this was my problem with the orbit around Flynn, right? Everybody in Flynn's orbit was like, Colonel, just shut your mouth and go along and support the team. And my answer was, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to just quietly go along with somebody that I don't work for and I'm not working with. It doesn't show me the common courtesy, right? There's a certain amount of respect that goes with that. The same is true in this case. Prove to me you're not owned by fucking Israel and I will shut my mouth and do the job. But until then, I'm going to keep saying what I'm saying until you prove me wrong. Because we didn't put you in office to make Israel great again. We put you in office to fix our country and to support Americans who've been paying the freight for 80 years. So it's about time for you to put this country first truly and stop making deals that sell out the American public. Bottom line. You stop telling lies about me and I'll keep telling the truth about you. That's how that game's going to be played. Because I learned early on, you know, and I've said this before. If you haven't heard me say this before, this is what I learned in the desert. Doesn't matter what level you are. It doesn't matter how famous you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are. You are always somebody's bitch. Elon is Trump's bitch. Trump is his donor's bitch. In the desert, the generals were the bitch to the Bush administration. The Bush administration was the bitches to whoever was funding them. And in this case, it's AIPAC. So until they show us that they're not entirely AIPAC's bitch, and they can make decisions around Israel, and I'll even double down. This is, and I'll say this just for the Trump people. You want to make a really, really good impression on the American public, get rid of Netanyahu and all those crazy assholes that are working for him, and the American public will cut you some slack. But if you keep that evil shitbag in place and you continue to support genocide, the American public and your base will turn on you. They already are. Get rid of the crazy people and put some sane people in there and do some things for the American public. Otherwise, your base is going to abandon you. That's the bottom line. That's what the optics look like. And, you know, I'll go and serve when I know that we're not serving another country. I'll serve my country. That's what I should have led with. But at the end of the day, it's part of that existential crisis. They have to fix the optics. They have to do something. And I don't think they've got it in them. I just don't. Or I don't think they have the approval. If they got rid of Netanyahu, that would go a long ways to restoring trust with the American people, as well as the rest of the world. And if they pin the Epstein stuff on him, which I think they would, that would give them an out. And that would give Israel an out. So we'll see. It'll be very, very interesting. But I think we're months away from that. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up and keep it short today. I'm watching the situation that's going on in Ukraine. I'm watching the messaging that's coming across social media, and I'm also watching the narratives. Keep your head on a swivel. I can't emphasize that enough. Keep your head on a swivel. It really does seem like they're doing a lot of predictive programming for some kind of a major event. I would hope that it's just noise to keep people distracted and keep people focused on something else. At least that's what I'm hopeful for. It's just noise to distract the masses. But use your shit, go to the range, get some exercise, spend time with your family, keep your head on a swivel. I'll be back on Thursday afternoon at the same time. And I was an hour late today, by the way. So I'll be on time, 4 o'clock on Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern. Until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.